Don't forget to download the 30-day challenge for having an addicted parent. Here are some of the questions that you would answer. Describe a time when your parents' addiction affected you the most. How did you feel in that moment? How has your parents' addiction impacted your ability to trust others? How do you want your future or your future family to be different from your past? Who are the safe people in your life who support and uplift you? How can you lean on them more? These are just a few questions from the 30-day challenge. You can download the link below, or you can go to my Instagram, download it, as well as my YouTube channel. So feel free to do this on your own time. If you want to share your answers, feel free to message me. Hello, welcome back. I am going to speak on growing up with a parent struggling with addiction. You know, if you ever felt abandoned or confused or felt like you're carrying the weight on your shoulders from your parent or parents being an addict, just know you're not alone. My dad was an alcoholic, still is an alcoholic. So I definitely understand how it can feel like you're more mature than your parent at times, just from past experience and things that had to do that maybe a 10-year-old shouldn't be doing. But we'll just talk about the emotional impact, how to heal and how to break the cycle, how I never became, I never let alcohol consume me, like my father did. But it definitely ended up having an impact on my life more than I thought it would. I thought all my trauma and past, you know, struggles or issues or anything that I, you know, deal with on a daily basis mentally was from my mother. And it wasn't all from my mother. It was also from my father. But my dad just never, he gave me freedom. He never tried controlling me. He never was really abusive. He didn't do anything. You know, he wasn't mentally or physically abusive. He was just an addict, and he loved to party, which sometimes was very difficult on weekends because I would go to his house every other weekend. I had two siblings, and at the time, like, him partying and bringing his friends over to drink, and at the time, he did do some drugs. I loved it. I mean, what 10-year-old wouldn't love the freedom running around the house? They were all instrumental, very talented. So they played guitars and drums and tambourines and keyboards and harmonica. So it was just a good old time for a 10-year-old. I want to say it was between 10 to 12. I can't really remember my age. I just remember the experience. But I always had a good old time at my dad's. I always wanted to be at my dad's house because of it. But eventually, like, I noticed that I did get exhausted with it and annoyed with my dad, and I would act out and I would just yell at him. And I did throw some tantrums with him just because of things he wanted to do and I didn't want to deal with, especially when I turned 16 and he wanted me to drive him to the liquor store because he finally learned his lesson not to really drink and drive. And that was very annoying because before I would go to work or anything, I would drive him to the liquor store, get him what he needs, and then bring him back to the house. But back to early childhood with him being addicted to alcohol, and I don't really know much drugs he did. I just remember, I want to say he was into like pain pills, just any kind of pills probably, only because I walked in the bathroom and there was probably over, not even kidding you, 100 pill bottles laying around. And I know his former wife slash they never married. He never believed in marriage, but they pretty much were married because they were together forever. She did like opiates and stuff, so I just assumed they probably did it together. But anyways, early childhood, when I didn't even know my dad was really an alcoholic. Obviously, when you're young, you don't understand. But there was times that I couldn't go to his house because he would pick me up, try picking me up drunk already, and my mom was not having that. So by me not going to his house for the weekend, it would piss him off, and he would get very angry and call my mom names and just attack my mom. My mom always obviously locked him out of the house, but him banging on doors and windows and cussing her out and doing all this, it was like a for the longest time, it was like an every other weekend thing until he learned to not pick me up drunk, to pick me up sober and get drunk after. And then he the whole situation was avoided. But that took some time for him to learn. But there was a lot of times my mom would call the cops on him because he was drunk at our house, beating on the doors and yelling at my mom because he wanted to see me. Which is understandable, but at the same time, I understand where my mom's coming from because he was drunk and I mean, we could have wrecked or he could have killed someone or he could have killed us. Like, I mean, anything could have happened, if she did let me go with him. So I do understand the reason behind what she did. But he eventually stopped, picking me up drunk, picking me up sober, go to his house, he would get drunk. But at times, my mom, depending on if my mom was having a good weekend or a bad weekend, would determine if she was going to ruin my weekend. So, if for instance, she had boyfriend issues or whatever, she was going to go figure out and see what my dad's up to just to start a fight, call the cops, and take me home. But if she was having a good old weekend out partying with friends, she didn't care. So it's not like she didn't know my dad was drinking on weekends. It's just her decision if she wanted to ruin it or not. To come to find out later on, I obviously didn't realize it at the time. But as the years went on, I can see that cycle in her behavior. But there was one time when we lived in my dad moved a lot, so we lived in probably. Or he lived in so many different houses growing up. So we were always hopping houses. But this is a time we lived in the trailer park. And I was the only child at the time. And my dad didn't have a girlfriend. But living in a trailer park, you get to become friends with everyone. Everyone just comes together. It's like a little community. Everyone's very protective. No matter, who you are, what you do, everyone has everyone's back. So growing up, we went to, come to find out she was a stripper. We went to the stripper's house or trailer, because everyone's partying and having a good old time. And it was fun because she interacted with me like, I mean, I wasn't like neglected really. Like my dad included me in the parties. So we were, I just remember black lights in her house and she had like batons and hula hoops. And everything was neon and glowing, and it was just like a little rave. It was so fun, I was having a good old time. Well, my dad knew I loved the Backstreet Boys, so we were, and this was like, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, and I just remember going back to the house to get the CD with my dad, and next thing I know, there's probably like three or four cops cars driving down one of the like in the trailer park, and my dad seen them, and my dad knew they were coming to his house because my mom called the cops on him because he was drinking with me, and I'm assuming my mom just wanted to just ruin, obviously ruin the weekend, cause some drama, and because she was having a rough weekend. So anyways, we got the Backstreet Boys CD. We came out of the trailer. We seen that there's cops coming to his house. They were like looking for him and me, obviously. I just remember jumping house from house to finally we get to her trailer, hiding from the cops And I just thought that was like the coolest experience ever, being, you know, 8, 10, however old I was. But anyways, safe to say the cops never found us. They left. We ended up having a good weekend. And I didn't go home. But anyways, we went back to the stripper's house and we played the Backstreet Boys and I just had a good old time. That was like my first ever experience like dodging cops with my dad, and I don't know, it was fun. I actually ended up telling my mom. We were not right then and there, but probably once I got a little older, like teenage years, I just ended up telling her, yeah, we were dodging you, and she knew it. She's like, oh, I knew it. But that was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't see a problem with it, obviously, because I'm young. And it was a fun, good old time. So, the next kind of experience, obviously there's a lot of stories with partying involved, but, I end up getting a sister and a brother. They were pretty younger than me, obviously. And I ended up, because of how they would drink all the time and party, I ended up having to take care of my sister and brother when I was over there. And a lot of times there was no food. Like when it was just me, it was not as difficult. There was food for the most part, junk food and stuff. But when it came to having three kids, and then she had a kid with someone else as well. So it's four kids in the house, and him trying to feed us and him rather having beer and stuff, because he would have to get a case of beer, a few cases every weekend, before we, at least when he picked me up, we would go get it. And I remember always, cause they would want to leave to go to the bar down the road. So I would be left home with him. And granted, her son was a little bit older than me, not too much, probably like a year or two. So we had each other, but there was also babies involved. So, you know, being 10, 11 years old, taking care of baby, I learned a lot doing that. I learned what not to do, but there was also a lot of violence because their mom and my dad would just obviously get in fights if something happened, and then it would just turn into violent. My dad was not, he was never violent towards the kids, but he was violent with her. And there was times she would call my mom and be like, he's drunk with your daughter, and then I'm going home, and it's just like constant drama almost every weekend. It was fun for the beginning, and then it gets worse as the night goes on. But there's a lot of times I would watch my sister and brother as they would go to the bar, or maybe they're just out drunk and not paying attention. So there was a lot of, I was learning how to pretty much parent these kids, and, you know, and obviously they seen it as, oh, you know, she's playing babies with the kids, so she'll do it. She loves it. And maybe I did. I don't really remember. I just remember knowing I needed to do it, because if not, they're just like, I didn't want nothing to happen to them. Not that anything would, but you never know. Especially if they get drunk and then get neglected. So there's a lot of times that I took care of them. Me and my sister and brother always slept in the same room together. I never really left them they always stayed by my side for the most part. And then, after that, we moved to a different house. It's just so, like, I'm just trying to remember, like, the main, things I remember, because it goes from that to, like, me becoming super wild at these parties and going out doing my own thing with my friends. Because obviously the kids got older, they kind of were a little bit more independent, and I didn't have to change their diaper or give them food. But there was times there was no food at the house, so I would just sacrifice from eating and just let my sister and brother have it. And not all the time. It was, it just depends on the weekend, I guess, and probably the time of the month, depending on when bills come out, when bills due. So some weekends we had food, some weekends it was a struggle. And then I remember eventually doing this for years with your dad. It gets very exhausting as a kid. So I remember wanting to just go to bed early because every night was till 3 to 4 in the morning. And then he was like a functional alcohol. He's functional alcoholic. So he can get up at 7, 8, perfectly fine, staying up to 3 or 4 in the morning. I cannot. So I eventually started going to bed. Like I would go to bed at 8 o'clock at night sometimes on the weekend, depending what's going on, depending if there's kids my age coming over. But other than that, me and my siblings just kind of watched TV and fell asleep while they partied. And there was a lot of times that like those party they never really got out of hand like crazy. I mean, it was just a bunch of guys drinking. And then maybe there's some females that come over. And eventually, as I got older, they're my dad's friends, nephews or nieces would come over, so it would be like a huge group of kids, all of us playing and getting into stuff. And my dad let me drive his Jeep, so I was driving his Jeep around on dirt roads because we lived out in the boonies, so it didn't matter. Yeah, we just pretty much he it was just like a ex fun experience. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I eventually got exhausted at times, especially when he would want to leave to go to the bar, only because we were literally in the middle of nowhere and it would just be so pitch black and I would be kind of scared. So I'd get mad when he would want to go to the bar because I'm like, can you just party here so I'm not alone? Because at times there'd be times I'm just left at the house alone while they go down to the bar and I just have my siblings with me, which, I don't feel very safe with just me and my siblings. So, there was some arguments at times there, especially when he wanted to go to the bar. And usually he ended up just going to the bar and I was just dealing with it and I would be so angry with him. But I never like, I guess I had more anger towards my mom, so I never blamed him for anything. But looking back, I did have a lot of anger towards him during that at the moment if he did that. But there was also some times that I was like scared because when there's one night I fell asleep early and then for some reason I woke up hearing this big crash. I look out the window and it was like, I don't know, 2 in the morning. And then all I see is one of my dad's friend's truck, kind of ran over the mailbox and bushes. So they're in a ditch. And then my dad's underneath it. So I thought my dad got ran over and I just ran back into my room. Probably not the smartest thing I could have done. I probably should have checked and make sure he didn't get run over, but there's people out there, so I was like, okay, they'll figure it out. But I ran back to my room and I just fell back asleep and then I woke up and he was okay. So he just probably was looking to see if there was something stuck underneath this truck or something. I don't know. I just remember waking up thinking he got ran over and I freaked out. So that's like one of the experience. Another is that if we went out to do anything as a family, like for instance, when we played putt-putt, he was obviously drinking and I'll never forget. It was the hottest day in Alabama and we're playing putt-putt and I'm dying of thirst. Because I mean, we're limited to how much we can afford, so there was nothing to drink as we were playing putt-putt by the end of this, and I was so thirsty, so I took the biggest swallow of drink, whatever was in the styrofoam cup, and I drank it, thinking it would cool me off, thinking it was water or maybe soda. Oh yeah, nope, it was beer, and I drank so much beer within that swallow. I was like, what did I just drink? I like had to go around the corner of the fence to throw it back up because it was the most disgusting thing I ever tasted. So, yeah, I actually ended up telling my dad that story a few years ago, and he just laughs. But I just remember that. So anywhere we go, there was beer getting sneaking into any event or amusement park or fairground or wherever we were doing that weekend. He was definitely drinking no matter what. I mean, he just had a problem. I mean, he still has a problem, but he just has a problem. So, that was another thing. And it's just one of those things, that you just kind of eventually accept. And I've seen myself over, especially when I turned, in my 16, when I was able to drive, I became very, I just love drinking as well. But I knew I didn't want to be like my dad and rely on alcohol. Growing up that way, I thought it was all fun and I enjoyed my experiences because there's a lot of parties we were at. I got to meet a lot of people. I experienced a lot of different things. We were out doing whatever we wanted to 4 in the morning. I mean, but there was a lot of times I almost died, almost got hit by a car. Just because we were literally out in the middle of nowhere with friends and my dad's not paying attention, almost got hit by a car. I almost got ran over by a four-wheeler. I dodged a lot of bullets, sounds like. Because I wasn't aware of anything. I just knew I was able to do whatever I wanted. My dad was drinking, he didn't care. So I always had friends over and we just, especially as I got older, we were always getting into something. I guess my dad was, even though he was an alcoholic, he was still there for me for the most part. Like he didn't really go to any of my vol like I played volleyball and stuff. He didn't go to my games, but that's just more of him and my mom issue. They just couldn't be in the same room together. Just like he never went to my birthday party at my mom's house. It was at my mom's house, but he threw me birthday parties at my granny's house. I mean, he was there, but at the end of the day, alcohol consumed him, and that was everything. He was always drunk. Christmas, birthday, Easter, Thanksgiving, he was always out drinking, no matter what we were doing. I guess looking back, there was some neglect, emotional impact that I received from that. And I never realized it up until I got in my mid-20s because there was one time I didn't really talk to my dad much when I moved to North Dakota. I didn't talk to really any of my family because I just didn't care. Like they just pissed me off so much and I was just so angry anyway. I was just doing my own thing. I went back to Alabama and me and I just remembered because I didn't stay with my dad. I didn't stay with my mom. I wouldn't stay with them. I still don't stay with them if I go down to Alabama. But I just remember me and him were supposed to do something and just to let you know that, so he started with drinking beer when I was younger, but because he was so immune to the beer, it would, he could drink, I don't know, like, I feel like he could drink a freaking whole Bud Light, shop and he wouldn't get drunk because he was just so immune to it. So he actually switched to liquor and he would drink vodka by the bottle, like it was just nothing. It was just water to him. So he advanced to the liquor. So by this time in my mid-20s, I went down there. We were supposed to do something, and it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was already drunk. And it was liquor. It wasn't. So he has different moods depending on if it's beer or liquor. You know, he gets angry if it's liquor, or just. He knows what's best. It's just so hard to him and like discuss, like talk to him and discuss anything. So we were, I believe we were supposed to go fishing, which would be the reason he would start drinking, because fishing and alcohol just mix so well down there. But anyways, he was already pretty lit, and I was so mad because I hate talking to him. He thinks he knows best, and at this time, you know, being in my mid-20s, I think I know way more than my parents just because I kind of lived it. I proved that I can survive on my own. I see what they are, where they are at in life, and I'm just like, nope, I'm not taking any advice from y'all. We can, you know. So he would try to give advice, and I think that's just more him trying to make up for, like, because he has obviously a lot of guilt. But I don't know. It was just really hard. It's really hard to talk to him. So I was so pissed at him. I just said, I'm leaving. And I actually ended up leaving Alabama at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I drove all the way to Montana, and didn't even sleep because I was just so it was like a 24-hour, probably over, I believe it was like an over 24-hour drive that I did. So it was, I was pretty like exhausted by the end of this trip, but I was already mentally exhausted as well, and I wouldn't, even if I tried stopping to sleep, I wouldn't be able to sleep because I was just so pissed off too, and it was just a lot of emotions going on. So I think that woke him up that I wasn't going to talk to him, because I never told him I was going to talk to him, but I would quit talking to him if he's drunk or wouldn't be around him. But I think it definitely woke him up because he won't call me if he's drinking. I mean, at times he will. And I can tell because if he calls me back to back, that means he's drinking. So, and I think it's more he just gets lonely. So, I can definitely tell when he's drinking. But I think me leaving at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not saying goodbye or even telling anyone, I think he realized that that was a big fuck up. And, you know, so he doesn't drink around me. Because I can cut him out of my life just as easy. So, and I think he realized that. So, there's just things that I wasn't aware that did affect me, just because at the time I thought I was having so much fun. I mean, that's every kid's dream is to do whatever they want, party, live their life. You know, I was going to 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, going to the 17, 18 year old parties. And my dad was there because it was just all family friends. Everyone knows one everyone because we're in a small town. So, especially when you live on a dirt road, you just drive a quarter mile, find another party, and then drive another quarter mile, you find another party. Everyone's having bonfires and enjoying cooking out. So, I mean, it wasn't hard to find a party, and my dad knew everyone down there, so we were always doing something. But by all those experiences of living, and at times I actually did live with my dad, which was very hard too, because then I experienced him drinking every night instead of just weekends, and I was just very really annoyed with him because he would randomly come in my bedroom and just freaking run his mouth and just it was so hard to listen to him talk because he can't even talk, and it was just chaotic. And I just did not care to have conversations with him at all. But by my experiences, I felt like I was the caretaker of the household. Like I said, I helped with my siblings quite a bit. I felt bad for them, because they had to live in it, and I only had to live in it when I was 16. Actually, I was on and off, so I did it when I was 15 and 14. But then I went back to my mom's because something obviously happened, and then I would go back. Once I turned 16, I went there and stayed there. I didn't even go back to living with my mom. I pretty much became very rebellious and told her I will not. She would have to call the cops for me to go back there. So, and I mean, she got exhausted. I mentally exhausted her by me standing up for myself and pretty much control, trying to control. She's trying to control me. I'll control her. I would not back down. I eventually became. I ended up getting a job, and I, had my own food because they didn't have enough food in the house for me. So I paid for my food when I was 16. Because again, all the money would go towards cigarettes, alcohol, and a lot of weed. And then especially when they did legalize that synthetic weed, he did that too. And I really didn't care if I was feeling unseen or unheard, because I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to, and I didn't, if I didn't want to be around them, I would just leave. So I didn't care. I guess all my emotions and, from those experiences, trauma I received from those experiences didn't bother me because I was so angry and focused on my mom and things that happened at her house than at my dad's. At my dad's, I seen it was, freedom. I can, enjoy life. I have no one breathing down my neck. I have no verbally or physical abuse. And there was actually one time that my dad was drunk at like 3 o'clock, and I was so pissed at him. It must have been either I had to drive him to the liquor store or something. I don't really know what caused the argument, but I actually ended up, because by this time I was already, me and my mom already went hands to hands, and I was, and me and her ex-boyfriend went hands to hands, and I was very, aggressive, and I, no one scared me, even though they could definitely beat the crap out of me because they were way bigger than me. I didn't have any fear. So I actually ended up standing at my dad, and probably, I want to say I cussed him out. I don't know. I know I ran my mouth a lot, and it pissed him off because he was drunk, and he never hit me, but he did like throw me on the ground and like trying to tell me where my place was pretty fast. And I think he realized that, and he, I just left, and I think that bothered him because he's not that way. But he, if he's drunk and you piss him off, he'll get violent. But I knew that I didn't want to become that way. I didn't want to live like that. I didn't want to struggle for food. I wanted to make sure my kids had food. I knew I didn't, I knew I didn't, I just wanted to have a better life. So for the most part, so even though I drank a ton, like I almost died from drinking so much, because I would just, because I never drink beer. I would just, unless I was playing beer pong, I went straight to liquor. I drank Jack Daniels out of the bottle. I drank Fireball out of the bottle. None of it fazed me. I enjoyed it. I had so much fun with my friends around bonfires. Like it was, everything that I did when I was 13, 14, besides alcohol, I did when I was 16, 17 with the alcohol. So it was just always a party. Slept by a lot of bonfires, slept by the river. The ground was my bed pretty much. But I knew when I knew when I really couldn't move from drinking a whole bottle of Fireball and then doing a vodka shooter, I had a problem because I don't even remember really, like, my friends, at the time, Kayla, I lived with her. It was during summer, so I didn't live with my dad during the summertime. I pretty much lived with my friends. And I remember Kayla was telling me that I pretty much didn't even have a pulse. So they were like kind of freaking out, because I just drank so much. But I knew I had a problem. I knew I needed to do something and change something because I did not want to end up like my dad. But with that being said, how my dad was, alcoholic, just all, just very toxic, environment. I noticed that my relationships would kind of be that way. And I never tried to date an alcoholic because I knew my dad was, and I didn't want to do that. But there was other things when I chose, whoever I chose to date in a relationship, I chose there was some kind of toxicness, either with drugs, majority with drugs, and not really much alcoholic, but there was times that, I mean, obviously you go out and drink and you have fun. But the relationships became unhealthy, that I got in, and I also was, I'm a very codependent person. I rely on my relationship a lot. And I think a lot of that obviously has to do with abandonment and, just a fear of abandonment. I know I don't have any anger towards my dad. I think I just get very annoyed with him. But I don't have anger and I don't get triggered as much as I do with my mom. So I think honestly, my mom kind of overshadows the things that maybe my dad, living, growing up with my dad being an addict, came on, I guess, because even when I go to therapy, I remember her telling me, she's like, why do you defend your dad? Why do you keep defending your dad? And I think it's because, like, I know addiction is hard to break, and I know he obviously is doing it for a reason because I was drinking for a reason just to not think about anything. So whatever his issues are, and he needs to find himself, that's just why he drinks and he doesn't care to heal it. And he's now just a full-time alcoholic. Like, he can't function. Like, well, he's a functional alcoholic, but he just needs it. Like, it's just like very hard for him. He's actually done decent compared to growing up. He can go a few days without it, especially if I'm there. So he does go without it, but it's very hard for him, I notice. He does struggle quite a bit. I just understand it, and I think that's why I can't be that angry with him, because I feel like it's like alcohol, his addiction is just like a drug addiction or any other kind of addiction. So I don't get angry about it, like my sister and brother do. They get very angry with him, and there's a lot of anger they have and still have, even though they have a somewhat of a relationship with him, it's still a struggle. So they have more anger than what I have, but I also wasn't there 24/7 until I got a little bit older, which I kind of did what I was what I wanted, and I was already in that mindset that I'm not listening to anyone. I think what triggered me was my mid-20s when when we were supposed to do something, and he was drunk. And that's when I realized that I was just like, well, obviously I was hurt, but I realized like this is like my family so screwed up. And I was actually mad at him, and I actually didn't talk to him for a while, I think. I don't remember. We didn't really text, we didn't talk on the phone. He didn't hear from me much at all. And that was just my way of processing it, or just getting over it, probably, because I never, like it never consumed me, and it never, like, made me, I don't know if it made me depressed. Like, I'm still, like, trying to figure out, like, him being an addict, does it bother me? I think what bothers me more is that I know he has liver problems. He doesn't tell, well, he made a comment one time, but I know he has liver problems. He has a choice to stop drinking, and he chooses not to. So I don't think he'll live any. I personally, this is just my gut feeling, I don't think he's gonna live long because of it, but I could be wrong. I don't know. That's. I know he has. I believe he has liver problems. I think he's scared to even know about it. Because there's things he would, he kind of set things in place if he died. Obviously, I would be getting some of the stuff, so he kind of put everything in my name if he died. I mean, that's good to do when you're in your 50s, but I just think it's more than him preparing. So, especially there's times that I try calling him because I haven't been talking to him much, but I tried calling him last week, and all last week he's been laid up with like stomach pain, and his ex-girlfriend said it's liver, it's his liver. But I notice also sometimes when I see him, when I seen him in Montana last October, his eyes kind of look yellowish. Not too like you wouldn't understand, like you wouldn't see it if you just looked at him, but like if you paid attention and understood, like if you just know him and know how. I mean, I'm just his daughter. Like I knew, like his eyes kind of look yellowish. Like I personally thought they did, but anyways, but I just kind of accepted that because I mean he knows what he's doing. I mean he's not stupid. He should understand if he continues drinking, he's going to have like it's not going to do any good for his health. So there's that. I think that's the new struggle I'm having. Is just knowing he probably has liver damage. Well, I know he has liver damage for sure, but he probably is having slowly like liver failure is going to be in the not near future, but I say within the next 10 years. And I'm kind of accepting it. But it's again, it goes back to just loving him from a distance, just because sometimes it's a necessary thing to do. And then becoming self-aware of, if he's calling me back to back, most likely he's drunk, and I'm gonna avoid that. But if you heal, if your parents being addicts like really affects you, I think a lot of it is to figure out, maybe look at it in a different view. Because that's kind of what helped me with my dad, is just looking at it like he's obviously an addict for a reason. There's something he's hiding, there's something he's avoiding. Everyone has their own pain and trauma, and people process it differently. And I'm really glad that my sisters, or I guess one sister, my sister and my brother, slowly see it, and they're not really alcoholics. They don't drink because of it. Just because you don't want your environment to be like how you grew up. And sometimes alcohol can consume you or whatever drug, especially if you're trying to run away from your own thoughts and feelings, and sadness. So I just always had that in the back of my head if I was drinking a lot, because I knew I didn't want to be like my dad. And I think that's always good to have. Even though you might be doing it or something, just know that if your parents are addicts, most likely you might have an addictive personality. And that was another thing that kind of kept me away from doing a lot of things. Just because I didn't want to, I pretty much didn't want, I just didn't, I just knew how I wanted to live and have my life. I did not want to live, there's nothing wrong with living in a trailer, but I didn't want to live in a trailer that was falling apart, that was always messy, because I mean, obviously, with addiction comes with how clean you are, and there. I mean, there it's just a cycle. So his house was not the cleanest. Like dishes were piled up. I mean, everything was destroyed. I remember there's times me and my friends would literally, what we did for fun was stay up all night and deep clean the house. Like we would deep clean the house so they woke up, it was spotless, and obviously they were very thankful. But that's just like if you're 12 years old and your ideal fun was deep cleaning a whole house with you and your friends, There's a problem, I think. So and plus I liked having a clean space. Like I did not like bugs. Unless I mean, I enjoyed picking up bugs outside if I was trying to find them, but I didn't like bugs in my house where my head was sleeping. So there was just a lot of things that I knew I didn't want to live in. So filth I didn't want to live in, and I didn't want to have no money. I didn't want to waste my money all on alcohol or anything. And I was good at knowing that. So all my money did go towards, food and expenses and things like that. But obviously, being a female, people buy you drinks, so you don't even have to pay for drinks. So it's not like I've spent money on buying liquor or alcohol. And if I did, I spent probably money on a bottle of Jack Daniels, and that lasted me quite a bit. Because I would never just, once I got in my 20s, I never just drank the whole bottle of Jack Daniels like I would have when I was 16, 17. And so yeah, so just know your experience with an addict parent. You're not alone. Obviously, people have way worse experiences than I do with an addict parent or parents. And I would love to hear your story on how you manage to not, follow their footsteps, or you how you go get through your daily struggles with it. Whatever comes to mind, I think it's so important to share each other's stories and listen and learn from one another and just support. Because at the end of the day, your parents being an addict is not your fault. And healing is possible, and you can break the cycle. You don't have to be a drug addict or an alcoholic just like your parents. So, at the end of the day, you deserve peace and healing, and no matter what your childhood looked like, you don't have to live it, as soon as you get out, grow up. You don't have to relive your trauma. You can shape and change your future to what you think you deserve, and you deserve the best. So, if anyone would love to share their story, feel free to message me on Instagram. You can follow me at Shifting the Narrative without an E on Instagram, or follow my YouTube channel, or subscribe to Apple Podcasts. I would love to hear from you, and I hope everyone has an awesome day.